Can we have a stretch? Lolly Sturck. Is Lolly Sturck available? All right, everybody. Somebody's asking for a stretch. Can that be literally a stand up and a stretch? Do you want to do it? Well, we have an experienced stretcher here, so may I pass you over to Lolly Sturck, who's going to stretch you out.
I'll have to stand behind. All right, but for those of you who are able to, if you just kick off your shoes, if it's easy enough, and just stand with your feet planted in the ground, like that oak that Sheila was talking about, and just release your shoulders. Just for a moment, close your eyes and sink into your heels. Just keep the breath going really slow and breathe all of that information in your head down through your heels. And when you feel a little more planted, you just slowly let your arms start rising by the wrists. Take hold of your fingertips. Exhale all the way. Stretch into your heels. Keeping your tailbone very low. Keep your chins tucked in. And stretch as high as you can towards the ceiling. Keeping going, keeping going. And then release all the way down. If you'd like to sit down, and just keeping your feet on the floor. No. Just for the moment, turn around, keeping your feet planted on the floor, just turn to the right and have a good swivel round, really keeping your two sitting bones well into the chair. Stretch around and then slowly, slowly swivel the other way. Have a good look at the person behind you. All right, I think that'll do.
Thank you. Well, that's lifted the energy a little anyway, mine at least. Our next speaker is Lorena Araújo, who is a nutritionist working at Central Hospital in Fortaleza, Brazil. She's continuing the pioneering work of her late husband, who was an obstetrician, Professor Galba Araújo, who established a scheme for giving help and support to traditional birth attendants in the rural communities in the outlying districts of Brazil. And may I apologize to Lorena for having the printers inadvertently changing her sex in the original copy of the brochure. I think it was so that Marsden would have a hope of meeting somebody else in the little boys' room. But anyway, here is Lorena.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take you out of these highly developed countries that we've heard so much about today, to a very underdeveloped country, Brazil, and to an even more underdeveloped section of that country, which is the Northeast. It is the poorest area and has a very large, rural, medically unattended population. And my husband was professor of obstetrics at the Ceará Federal University in Fortaleza and director of a beautiful, highly technically prepared teaching maternity hospital. And he was receiving patients, women being sent in from the interior that he could not help. They had taken too long to get in. They'd lost too much blood. They were highly infected. Some reason. And he worried about it and studied and thought and what could he do? And how could he reach these people in time? And he organized a group of nurses and interns, got them all dressed up in their white starched uniforms and put them in a little minibus and sent them out to these little villages And they sat on the central square and said, "Here we are, come and talk to us." He then got some big buses that were made in, that had consultorios, you know, medical consulting rooms and dental chairs and surgery and everything in them, and took them out into these interior, unprotected or unsupported medically areas. No way. Nobody went anywhere near them. So he, one of the little villages, which was about 30 kilometers or 35 kilometers away, was notorious inside the hospital, the name of the little village called Pakatuba, with the residents and interns, because that when they heard that a patient had come in from Pakatuba, they knew that they had a lost case on their hands. And so Galba decided he would go out and talk to the local authorities. And he did. He went to the prefeito, the mayor, and he said, "You have a very serious problem here. We are losing 9, 10, 11 women from this, your county, every year. They're dying because they don't get in fast enough." And the mayor said, "Oh, no, that can't be." And he said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "And the reason is that the midwives, your midwives, do not have a referral system." And they said, "We don't have any midwives. All of our women go into the city for delivery." He said, "You have lots of midwives. They may not say they are, and you may not know they are, but they are working constantly delivering babies. Now, if you could get your local authorities together, we could sit down and discuss this." So they set up and made a date for further consultation, and they got together the teachers and the judge and the priest and the mayor himself, and they sat down and they discussed this situation. They discovered that they had two buildings in their little town that had been built as maternities, 8-bed, 6-bed little buildings, but had never been used, were abandoned, and because there was no one to finance them or to staff them. Okay. So Galba said, "Well, if you can find me some, identify some of your midwives." Now, I must clarify this term midwife, because you people have been talking about midwives this afternoon, and they are all highly specialized, highly trained people. And these are empiric, traditional birth attendants, as they are called at the World Health Organization, the TBAs. Many of them are illiterate. They become a midwife because of the need of another person. A person next to them, a neighbor or someone, calls in a midwife. The midwife doesn't arrive in time, and here she is. She gains a little fame, and she becomes a midwife. We did a little statistical study on 100 of our midwives and discovered that the average age was 49, and that they had an average number of 9 children each, and that they were, that they had become midwives not because their mother was a midwife or their grandmother was a midwife, but because of the need of a neighbor, somebody who needed someone to help her at time of birth for this reason. This was the reason, okay? All right. Now to get back. Galba then decided to, they found 20 midwives, TBAs. And they, Galba took them into his hospital, his big fancy maternity teaching hospital, the university, for training. And the local community, everybody worked, cleaned and prepared these little, this one of the two little obstetric units, okay? And the women were then brought back after training in the hospital, and four of them were designated, the more literate and the more younger and the people who lived close by, to run this little obstetric unit on a 24-hour basis. And the other 16 midwives were sent back to their homes and, acting as domiciliary TBAs, were invited to bring their patients in to deliver, where they could deliver them at this little center. Or if they had a problem, a risk patient, they were orientated as to what to look for and bring that patient in immediately to the little obstetric center. And then the mayor put his jeep and his driver on 24-hour call, and that person was taken to the hospital. Now, what we're doing here is bringing people into the hospital. You are getting them out of the hospital. You want them to deliver at home. We do not. We want to bring these especially high-risk patients, bring them into the hospital for proper care. Now, the program, or this project, whatever you call it, developed much interest among other little villages. They said, look, we have one of these little maternities that was built here, been abandoned, nobody's ever used it. Why don't you come and set up our area? So they did. And, of course, they learned an awful lot about delivery in the interior in the hands of TBAs. The first little building, Galba being a highly trained obstetrician, imitating North American obstetricians, had stocked the little unit with oxytocin and with antibiotics and with saline solution, and was all there, ready for his trained TBAs to use. And at the end of 100 normal deliveries at this first little unit, he went to check and see what they needed, and nothing had been touched. It was all there. So he said, now what are they doing? There's no infection. How do you know there's no infection, Dr. Gobble? Because if there was any infection, they would come right back through that unit and from the unit to me to the hospital. So he said, I'll wait another 100 deliveries. These are normal deliveries because all of the risk patients were sent on to the hospital. Okay? So, second 100 deliveries, absolutely nothing had been touched. The antibiotics were all there. Oxytocin was all there. Everything. Untouched. And he said, and there was no infection. And he said, you know, they're doing much better than I am. In my hospital, I have a 16% infection rate, and here it's zero. What is the reason? Why? So he decided maybe he'd better go out and watch the TBAs doing their deliveries. And he discovered that there were no invasive techniques. Absolutely none. There was no episiotomy, which was routine in his hospital. There was no trichotomy, which was routine. And no, what do you call it? Vaginal, investigation of how much, yes, you all know this as well as I do. he then decided that perhaps they knew more about delivering babies than he did. And so he decided to use... another very important thing was that the parturienti, or the parturient, was in a sitting position, a vertical position for delivery. And this was routine. And she used... The midwives used little birthing stools. And Gobble was most intrigued with these birthing stools, and he, after seeing several and asking if they'd give him one, they said, oh, no, we can't give it to him. What are we going to use? Next time we have a delivery, we have to have a birthing stool. So he had some made with brand new lumber and had them painted and cleaned and polished and put a plastic foam rubber seat on top of it and traded the new one for the old one and got himself quite a collection. He had three-legged ones and four-legged ones and stools with backs and stools without backs and stools with handles on the side and even an animal food trough that had been carved from the log of a tree. It had been carved out in the center, like this, and there were two large handles on the side you could carry it. And the mother would sit here on this handle and the midwife over here, and they would fill in this area in between with clean cloth, and the baby would be delivered into the food trough. Right there. Very easy. Our TDA has many names, nicknames. And one of them is Aparadeira. Aparadeira. Oh, she's an Aparadeira. And Aparadeira translates literally into English as catcher. That's what she does. She catches the baby as it's born. And that's all she does. The program grew. It now has about 40 such units outside of the city, and all of them now have federal funding. They all have ambulances, and things have looked up. It's much better. The TBAs have been trained to provide prenatal care and care at delivery, of course, and postnatal care, and other health agents in the community, because these interior areas that have no official health care create their own health system. And the midwife or the TBA is one member of this system. And you have faith healers and you have the herbalists, okay? And so we have learned that when the baby is ill for the first time, the very first thing she does is go to the faith healer. The faith healer cuts off a branch of a special plant and waves it over the child and chases those evil spirits out and prays over the child. And sometimes the child gets better. And sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't, the mother then goes to the herbalist. If that doesn't help, she goes to the pharmacist. Because remember, she has no money. She can't pay these people, and these people don't ask for money anyway. But the pharmacist will, and he'll prescribe some kind of medication. If she has gotten there in time, she may save her baby. It may not work. She may go to the doctor, and many times the baby is too ill to be helped. So what do? We have incorporated these people, the faith healers and the herbalists, and we have taught them how to prepare and to administer the oral rehydration solution. And they teach the mother when she comes in with her ill baby. And this has proved to be very effective. And I don't have the statistics that were presented here, but the grave digger at one little place said, no, haven't lost a baby in 10 months. The grave digger, the one who digs the graves for everybody that has to be buried in that one place. So there is some help. It has been working. This program has received much attention internationally and has received funding from very important organizations and technical assistance from the World Health Organization and Pan American Health Organization and other such entities. And it is it has been copied. adapted to other areas because you can't copy it. Exactly, the situation is not the same in every place. And I will present at a workshop on Tuesday data from a program that was done within our program where all births in a county of 30,000 people were monitored for 1 year. Every single birth was monitored, whether in the hospital or at home or wherever. And if they went outside the county, we monitored them. And we went over to the hospital where they got all the information. And we followed them for 18 months, the mother and the child. And I have that information, and I will present it at this other fair. Now I would like to read what I prepared as a written topic, a written paper. And it just describes how a TBA in our area of Brazil performs at delivery. Okay? Brazil has problems similar to other third world countries regarding health and sanitation coverage. City water and sewerage systems are rare or mainly non-existent in the smaller cities and rural areas of the Northeast. This area comprises 8 large and populous states which are subject to severe periodic drought. There are not enough formal medical personnel to care for its 30 million inhabitants. And those who go without are the poor subsistence farmers and their families living in the interior. Droughts bring on migration of able-bodied men to the larger cities of the South in an attempt to earn money for their families left back home. It is often said that the principal export product of the Northeast is cheap labor. Left to themselves, I'm going to repeat a few things, the people of the interior have created their own non-formal health system. Its mainstays are the empiric midwife, TBA, the faith healer, the herbalist. On the second level, that is common. It was common, it isn't anymore. When a person was very ill, they would have to seek a health post very far distant. You could even see men carrying a person in a hammock. The hammock slung over a pole that was on their shoulders. And when you saw this, you knew that the person in that hammock was very ill. Many a time my husband would be out in the interior hunting and would encounter such a group of people, and he would stop them and say, "What's the matter? What's wrong? Who's in here?" And they would say, "It's a woman and she cannot deliver." He said, "Put her over here on the ground beside the Jeep." And he'd wash his hands in the gasoline in the tank and deliver the baby. There are many little galbas running around the interior, all with his name. Okay. Many times this empiric transport was not quick enough and the mother would perish or upon arrival be delivered of a stillborn child. Now I'm going back and I'm going to repeat a lot of things here, but that's all right. In an attempt to counteract this type of problem for rural women, Professor Galba Araújo, director of the Maternidade Escola C. Chateaubriand, MEAC, that's what we're going to call it from now on, met with public authorities. He advised authorities of the problem, 20 of them are trained, we're not going to talk about that. He has disrupted the normal procedure. All right, okay. Within a short time, the total number of 100 normal births had occurred. Nothing had been touched. Well, that's all that same thing I've already talked about. Now, submit it. Traditional birthing methodology, okay? During the first stage of labor, the patient walks around her home, performs small domestic tasks, or rests between dilation pains while the TBA combs her hair, massages her abdomen, or prays softly to Our Lady of safe deliveries. There is no hurry. There is no confusion. The patient or the parturient is in her own home, attended by a person she knows very well and who speaks the simple rural dialect she understands. Above all is the fact that she has supreme confidence in her midwife. The husband may be present, but any children who have been will have been dispatched to the neighbors. The TBA has arranged the birthing stool in the position she feels most adequate and has covered it with clean sheeting reaching to the floor and beyond. She may have suspended a rope from the rafters immediately above the birthing stool for the parturient to use as leverage during expulsion. She hangs onto that and she gets that baby out, okay? At the beginning of the second stage of labor, usually when the amniotic fluid appears, the parturient goes to her birthing stool and in a sitting position awaits the expulsion pain she knows will follow. Her husband will sit on a chair immediately behind her to provide both physical and moral support. He will put his arms around her. She will put her arms around his head. Okay, around his neck. Yeah, okay. The TBA sits on the floor directly in front of the woman in labor awaiting the birth of the baby. When the fetal head appears, the TBA encircles the vaginal opening with both hands, providing support for the labial tissues, and this places her in a position to receive the head. Once the head is delivered, the TBA cleans the airways and assists rotation as the shoulders are delivered. She places the baby in a lateral position to permit normal elimination of secretions while she cleans the baby's body. If the baby does not cry immediately, the TBA may pat the baby on its back or its bottom, blow into its ears, bang a metal pan with a spoon, or as a last resort, place the Pinard stethoscope. Do you all know what the Pinard stethoscope is? A little wooden one about this big? They listen like this. Over the baby's mouth and nose and blow air into the baby's lungs. All of these attempts have been successful at one time or another. Once the baby is more or less clean, and while still attached to his umbilical cord, the TBA will wrap him in a clean blanket and place him at his mother's breast. Now, this was the TBA's idea. This was not Galba's. He learned this from the TBA. The baby almost immediately finds the nipple and begins sucking. He will find only colostrum, but the sucking satisfies him and will stimulate an input of oxytocin into the mother's bloodstream, which in turn will contract the uterus and permit an early delivery of the placenta. The TBA waits until all pulsation has stopped before severing the umbilical cord. Now, that was not her idea. That she learned from Galba and from future training. She has been taught that this will permit the transfer of the remaining nutrients on reserve in the placenta to the baby. When the pulsation stops, the TBA first ties the cord about 50 centimeters from the baby and then again about 10 centimeters from the baby's abdomen. Once the knots are secure, she severs the cord with clean scissors or a kitchen knife. She puts methylate on the open stump if she has it. If she doesn't, clean water. Covers it with clean gauze and carefully ties it in place. All the while the TBA is working, she's talking to the mother about how to care for the baby, about the need for cleanliness, about care of her breasts, about the values of breastfeeding, and about the various methods of child spacing, where and when to receive more specific orientation, etc. When the placenta appears, the TBA orders it buried in a deep pit to avoid it being mauled by animals. This is part of the spirit, the soul of the child, and it should not be made available to marauding animals. The TBA bathes the mother with soap and boiled water and puts her to rest for a short period. The baby is now carefully cleaned, dressed, and wrapped in a light blanket. Some TBAs place a drop of colostrum in each eye, and some studies have determined the presence of enzymes in the colostrum which protect the eye. I cannot guarantee that. Silver nitrate solution does not remain stable in tropical climates and thus cannot be used. Some TBAs Some TBAs place a drop of lemon juice in the eyes of the baby. Hadn't heard of them. After placing the baby in the mother's arms, the TBA clears up the birthing area, performs any domestic tasks that would normally be the duty of the mother, admits the family, and if necessary, remains the night. Normally, the mother assumes her household duties within 24 hours. The husband rewards the TBA with sweet potatoes, corn, mangoes, or nothing, depending upon the situation. There is no professional award or reward as such. The TBA does not charge, okay? The TBA is simply a woman caring for another woman. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lorena.